Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals.
We partner with Tony Financial Services for the scripture of the week this week, and it's Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Yes. I had to slow that down to read it, by the way, Pastor Jay, and it took me six times for all of you listening at home, but finish it up, big dog.
So we're talking about the supremacy of Christ, and our finances certainly comes under the lordship of Christ. And we appreciate Tony Financial Services for providing our scripture. They're a trusted wealth management firm that specializes in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing. They're proud members of the Kingdom Advisory Network. And we're just grateful for their continued partnership and helping us be good, faith-based stewards. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Pastor Jay and David Pollock. Today we're talking about the supremacy of Christ.
Yeah, kind of figuring out the order and what happens in our lives and how we keep things, you know, together. And I love the shirt, by the way, Pops. Let's talk about that a little bit, too.
I'm super excited about being a Pops. So for Father's Day, my middle child, Julia, who's been married for almost 4 years, hard to believe, is pregnant with child.
Yep.
And so she gave me this awesome shirt called Pops.
Pops.
That's going to be my grandfather name, Pops.
That's the one you chose? Yep. What did Miss Jennifer choose?
Ginny.
Ginny and Pops?
Pops and Ginny.
Pops and Ginny?
She
I'm sorry.
Pops,
you can't put...
I go Pops and Ginny.
Okay, that's like,
sounds better.
That's like Georgia, Florida, and Florida, Georgia. Florida saying, say Florida first, and Georgia...
Ginny and Pops sounds better.
Ginny and Pops.
Ginny and Pops sounds better?
You always, you always say the longer one first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like...
David Pollock and Pastor Jay. David Pollock's longer.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Pops.
Pops.
It's probably going to come out with all kinds of different ways than Pops, but
yeah, so
that's what my dad is. That's what Paps, I got Paps and Pops. Paps is my dad, Pops is Lindsay's dad.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
No. It's very unoriginal.
Yeah, so she had
You put no thought into that.
Have you ever seen these, I don't know if it's 3D or 4D image of the baby in the womb?
Yeah.
Like she sent us one the other day. It was like, you can see
I'm just face. Laughing because me and Wes are going... Yeah, that's what everybody does. And you're going, and then also thinking, like, wait a minute, when he had kids, there wasn't even color television. So,
hey, they used to do these. Yeah.
I mean, Wes just said they just scribbled in there what the baby looked like and gave you an image.
Why are y'all giving me a hard time? What is up?
By the way,
this?
We're getting Wes a mic. Wes needs a mic. I mean, he's in control of the mics, by the way, so he should make that happen, but. Because he's funny as crap, but
this might be our last podcast.
Pops. So did you put any thought into it whatsoever?
Well, I had a Pops.
Okay,
one of my grandfathers was. I had a Paul and a Pops. I just like Pops. I just
okay.
Think,
so
I
you
think
did put thought
cool.
into it.
Yeah, like Joel calls me Pops already.
Okay, perfect.
So
I just didn't know if you just like I'm going with Big Daddy. I think
no. So. You gave me a hard time recently when I was telling you the name was Baby MJ, and you were like, well, we don't really put much thought into names, and I was, and we do a lot, we put a lot of thought into names. Now you're giving me a hard time for saying I didn't put much thought into the name. So you gotta make up your mind which way you're gonna give me a hard time.
Always I'm gonna give you a hard time.
Yeah. So I want to talk today about the supremacy of Christ. And I don't think that's probably an attention-grabbing title to talk about.
Okay.
But we've been studying through the book of Colossians, and one of the reasons I picked the book of Colossians to study through the summer is because of this passage that talks about the supremacy of Christ. I'm just going to read it, and it's phenomenal, and we can get into it.
Phenomenal.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, and to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What do you think about the supremacy of Christ?
It's pretty solid. Curious where you're going next. Besides getting wet in the whistle over there and getting a little drink real quick.
Well, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. People ask the question, what does God look like? Well, he looks like Jesus. I mean, Jesus was God in the flesh, and I'm not talking about
Is it fair to ask, what does Jesus look like?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I'm not talking about his physical, you know, Middle Eastern man,
yeah,
dark hair, blue contact lenses, floating off the ground with bunnies and you know, lambs running around. I mean, that's the Sunday school Jesus, right?
I guess. I didn't know a little more detail than I'm used to for the Sunday school Jesus, but.
But I'm thinking, like, what he looks like is the character qualities that Jesus exemplified, you know? And we talked about this on a previous podcast. He was confrontational. He did call people names. He put together a whip and was running people out of the tabernacle, temple courts, yeah, the tabernacle. Like he was a man's man, but also he had such good character. He was humble, and he was meek, and he was caring and loving, and you know, the image of let the little children come to me. And I mean, just like he's our model. He's our example. All the character qualities. Think about fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things. He is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of the universe. It says that all things hold together because of him. You think about how great and awesome God is. Like the earth is a certain distance from the sun for a reason. And the earth
will burn up, right?
Like, yeah, if we're too close, we're burning up. We're too far away, we're freezing to death. Well, he's the one that sustains it. He's the one that keeps everything in motion. Like everything happens because he is... He didn't just create us and leave us. Everything is sustainable on earth because God is in control.
That part to me always, like, I don't have enough faith to not believe that. Like, I think it requires more faith to believe that there isn't a creator and that all of this just simultaneously combusted.
Yeah. Like, it takes faith.
It takes faith.
No matter what you
believe.
It takes
faith to believe that. I don't have enough faith to believe that. Like, I have a lot more faith that there is a God because of all the things that are so intricately made and so perfect for us to live and to be successful. And it's just, it's amazing when you really think about it. I think that's why nature's so amazing and all the stuff that goes with it. When you go look at the Grand Canyon, you're just like, wow. Like,
yeah.
Holy cow. Like this is crazy.
I love getting out in nature.
It is fun.
It's such a reminder.
Well, we know that. You like to bird watch.
How great and awesome God is. Yeah. Birds are great. Fish are great. Animals are great. I mean, God made it all.
Made it all. Yeah. You know, every one of them.
So when I was growing up, Pluto was a planet.
It's not a planet.
That's, you know, yeah. Now, whether it's a planet or it's not a planet. What is it? What is it? Matter?
It's like a star. It's like gas.
A star.
Yeah. Wes.
It's a star.
If Wes, I wish Wes had a mic because I think we could talk him into that in a heartbeat, like, because he doesn't have a clue what it is. He thought it was a planet when he did it at church the other day when he was talking about it. I was like, everybody in there was like,
No, the point I was making is whether it's a planet or not, it exists for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And everything is created for the glory of God. Everything exists. Like, the reason David Pollack exists is for the glory of God. Like we find our purpose in him. Like that's why we're here.
Preach it.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But everything we do, I mean, you're talking about nature, the earth, the land, the oceans, the sky, the mountains, the valleys, the rivers, the rocks, the animals, the birds, the fish. I mean, everything was created by Jesus and for his purpose. Everything exists for the purpose of God. You were created for the purpose of God. So I love the beginning of Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. It's not about you. And I think so many times we try to make life about us, that everything revolves around our little universe.
Well, it is, because you can do that. I mean, you can live any way you want. You can live with the life revolving around you. You don't like, and that's I think that's one of the things that people like. Why, if God created all of this and made us, like, why did he give us free choice? Why didn't he make us worship him? That's not what God wants. He doesn't want a bunch of robots. If he wanted to, he would have built them. Like, but he wants us to have those choices, and he wants us to choose him. And what that means also is, like, there's a bunch of distractions, and a lot of times there's going to be a bunch of failing, but I think the failing, obviously, he uses too. Like, he uses the failing in a positive way in our lives if we'll look for it. And so even those hard situations and those hard failures and those hard tears and those hard diseases and those all those things that are hard and difficult and that you hate at one point in your life is still used for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. All of it. Like, and we've seen that with Lindsay now. Like, we're going through that exact thing. We've seen it with other situations in our lives too. It's all, nothing's wasted. And I think it's a great way to live, man. It's a cool way to live if you're always looking for the next lesson. Like, he's the great teacher. What's my next lesson? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I find it? How do I find the purpose? How do I find the reason? Like, it's a huge linear, like, picture. And that picture is, like, literally slowly just being unveiled. God's not going to give us the whole picture. We don't need the whole picture. If we had the whole picture, it wouldn't be the picture. We would change it and we would screw it up and take it into our own hands. But, like, he's going to slowly unveil, you know, kind of like delighting versus desiring, like, moment by moment, minute by minute. And then we'll get to the other things. But you're right. But it's all for the end game. It's all for his glory.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. Again, I don't have the scientific proof, but I've heard that
that's a common thread in every one of our broadcasts. I don't have the scientific proof.
I need
proof,
to have more. Like, we only use like 10% of the brain.
Yeah,
like,
I've heard that too.
And God, we don't always see the big picture, and so I think it's so important. And the illustration I've been using in church is that we're living under this umbrella of the sovereignty of God, the lordship of Christ, and then we have the authority of his word. Like, that's our authority. And so it helps us to, you brought up Lindsay's cancer, her battling cancer. Like, that didn't happen outside of God's sovereignty. That didn't happen outside. Like, he
didn't go, whoops, oh, that one caught me off guard.
Like God made a mistake here.
No.
Like, he did. Like, that was a part of his plan, it's part of his purpose. And I think if you understand that, you can trust him in whatever circumstances. Like, you broke your neck. You know, whatever it is that you're going through, it's like, hey, God's sovereign, he's in control, he's got the best plan. And so then we try to find the good in that. The Romans 8:28, that God's going to work out all things. Like with Lindsay's cancer, he's going to work it out for his purposes and her good and for your good and your kids' good. I mean,
not for mine.
That's hard to comprehend.
It's a lot of times it's impossible. A lot of times it's you're not going to see it. You're not going to know. I mean, you're not going to, you're going to question and you're going to wonder and you're going to be upset. Now it's going to be revealed, I think, to all of us in the end. Mm-hmm. And I think I would argue 99% of the time, you usually 99% of the time, as it goes by, you see it more and more and you're like, okay, thankful for that. Appreciate the Garth Brooks song, unanswered prayers, mm-hmm. right? Those blessings.
Yeah, there are a lot of, so there's some things in life I can look back on and think, oh, now I know why God allowed that to happen. Like my girlfriend from high school broke up with me. Well, then God brought Jennifer in my life. So I said, oh, okay, I see. He had a better plan for me. Other things that have happened, I don't understand why they happened. Like my buddy who fell off the golf cart and had the brain injury and he has five kids. Like, I don't understand why that happened. I don't see the good of that. You know, but I have to ultimately trust God. I don't understand it. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll know this side of heaven, but probably not. It's going to have to be when I get up to heaven and God.
I think a lot of times we waste opportunities too.
What do you mean?
I think things we're putting in our life for a reason to be successful and to use. And sometimes we don't do it. Like, you know, I think one of the core, like Lindsay said a bunch of things to me, you know, during this time that I marvel at. I'm like, she's a boss. Like, she's just, it's just fun. Like, but she said, you know, she's like, I feel like God gave me this because she's like, she said, I'm glad it was me and not some of my friends. And she said, cause I know what it would have done to them. Like, it would have crippled some of my friends and God gave it to me cause I think he knew I could handle it. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's a crazy perspective. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's interesting that she would say that about her friends. Cause you would 100% say that about your spouse or about your kids. Like, you'd rather you go through it than your spouse.
She said it about her friends.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting, but in the same lines too, we were eating spaghetti one night and she said, Okay. So I got invited to a speaking.
You eat spaghetti?
I wasn't. It's like, actually, I think I had spaghetti squash that night. It was squash spaghetti. So it's not really spaghetti. It's literally squashed, like noodled. You noodle squash and it looks like spaghetti, but it's vegetable.
You put meat sauce on it?
Yeah. And it tastes like spaghetti.
You eat meat?
Yeah. I love meat.
Okay.
So we're eating spaghetti one night and I had just gotten an offer to do a speaking gig. And we were eating and she said, this happened first. She said, I felt God saying, what are you going to do with this? Like, what are you going to do with this cancer? What are you going to do with this diagnosis? Like, what are you going to do with it? Like, how are you going to use it? And got invited to do a speaking gig. And the speaking gig consisted of, like, bringing Lindsay. And she get to stay in the hotel and they'll treat her and treat me. And the guy said in the thing was like, hey, you know, if she wants to join you on stage, she can. And, you know, Lindsay doesn't love that. We did the bride's thing, the wife thing here on Family Goals, and she did it and she does great, but she just doesn't love it. And she was like, I'll do it. She's like, I need to do it. I'm supposed to do it. Like, I feel like God's saying, like, what are you going to do with it? And so, like, just stuff like that, man. Like,
have y'all done that yet?
No, it's in April.
Okay.
It's in next April. But do you use it? You know, are you cognizant of it? Are you aware of it? Like, are you going to pursue it? Are you going to use it for his glory? And are you going to turn that negative into a positive? Like, and then that's, you know, that's a mindset thing. That's a being able to handle difficult things that, by the way, the Bible talks about, like, difficult things are coming, right? Like, and if you're not experiencing something difficult and you are over the age of 10, like, I'm sorry, newsflash, like, life's going to get very difficult mm-hmm. and very hard.
The storms of life are coming. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
James.
Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It says whenever. It's not if, but when.
When.
when you face. So I think understanding the supremacy of Christ, he's Lord, he's boss, he's in charge. And I think first, let's make some application that or some practical is, well, one is you submit to the Lordship of Christ. Like, okay. Every day, like, I mean, becoming a Christian is a surrender, but I think it's a daily surrender. Like every morning, like, okay, God, I'm gonna take up my cross today and follow you.
Daily, yeah.
Like I'm gonna deny myself. Like I'm crucifying the old self, and I'm I'm living for you today. So we're surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. I think number two, when you understand the supremacy of Christ, he's worthy of our praise. And you, I know you love to sing to sing praise songs, but that's, you know, we come to church because he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's, that's why we're coming. We're coming to bring him an offering of praise. You know, and you can send in your online giving, your online offering, but you got to show up to bring that worship, to show up to bring that.
So you're saying you can't watch church at home and bring the praise?
I think you can, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't like. I did not. I was not a fan of COVID with that and that.
Yeah.
Like not being in the house of God. Like I think the spirit and the everything about it was different. Like my house is different. You know, the church house, the house of God is totally different.
There's something about the manifest presence of God and gathering with the people of God in the presence of God.
It's real for sure.
So. I say that a third application about the supremacy of Christ is our purpose is found in Jesus. It says in Colossians 1:16, all things were created by him and for him. And I think you find your purpose in a relationship with Christ. And I think so many people, you probably heard the illustration of the person who's climbing the ladder of success only to get to the top to find out that the ladder's leaning against the wrong building. Like man, I was giving my whole life to the wrong.
Don't assume people know
the wrong purpose.
Like when you tell those stories, I like it. Tell it in full because you've done it obviously in church some too. But
yeah,
it's so a cool little saying. But say it
there's
again.
Basically three. When it comes to purpose in life, there's three groups of people. There's the people who have no purpose, which their life is pointless, right? There's the person who's living their life for the wrong purpose, and that's the person who climbs the ladder of success only to find out that their ladder was leaning against the wrong building. And then there's the person who's living his or her life for the right purpose.
On purpose.
On purpose. Yeah, right purpose, on purpose. I can't imagine living life with no purpose. I mean, that'd be like aimless.
No direction.
No direction. No reason to get out of bed in the morning. I mean, like, you know, there's what's the point? What's the point of it?
And there are people going through life like that. That they don't have. They don't have purpose. They don't know. They don't have meaning. They don't think they have value and purpose and meaning. And I think a lot of times those folks when they get in church, they're like, okay, this is different. This is unique. Like.
Well, I think understanding that God created you for something greater than yourself, and you were talking about something, you know, a project that you had, and I said, oh, is it about David Pollock? And you said, no, it's bigger than that.
Thank God.
And I think that's the beauty of church. That's the beauty of the Great Commission. That's the beauty of living on purpose for God, is you realize that your life is so much bigger than yourself. And we all want to give our, we all want our lives to count. Like you want your life to
matter,
to matter. You want it to make a difference. You want to impact people. And in whatever circumstances, like you probably never thought that y'all were going to be impacting people through battling cancer. But that's the hand you're dealt. That's what God led you to do. And now, I mean,
all things. So use that circumstance for God's glory. Use that circumstance for good. Like
whatever it is.
And I think we all have those. We all have the good ones, which are important. And when the good ones are there, man, like we also got to give praise and give thanks. But we also got to give thanks in those bad ones too. In those moments that aren't as much fun, that sting a little bit. And just, you know, it's so much easier to get to the other side, understanding that there is a purpose. I'm going to figure it out. Like it just, sometimes it just takes a little bit of time.
Yeah. I think another thing is we can trust God at his word. I love Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. And so the whole idea of we're under the supremacy of Christ, the authority of God's word, and then we stand firm in the faith. And, you know, it's easy. It talks about drifting, getting outside of that alignment. And I told this story in an earlier podcast about my friend who said, you bring me back to center. And I think
back to being a sinner.
Getting back in the center.
Center.
Back to
not
alignment.
Center. Not S-I-N-N-E-R.
Yeah, not center, which I've already confessed enough sins. But back to center, back into alignment. Kind of the plumb line of in the scripture. If we live, so what happens is you're under the lordship of Christ. You're living under the authority of Scripture. And we all have this tendency to drift. And a lot of times it can be a slow drift, a slow fade. Like you can drift away without
beach,
even knowing. Like
the beach drift.
Yeah, the current.
You look up and you're way down the beach and you're like crap, where did I go? How did I get here?
You don't even realize that. How many times has that happened to families? How many times has that happened to couples? Like you don't realize how far you've drifted away. And so that's called sin. You know, getting outside of the authority of God's word is sin. And so we repent. And we bring it back to center. So I think every day is a confessing our sins. Every day is a, hey God, I want to get back to center. I want to stand firm in the faith. I want to live in alignment with you, in alignment with your scriptures. It's a trusting God. And I think that's where the faith is. Do you trust God's His word, or are you going to live by faith?
All of the word.
Like all of the word. Yeah, we don't pick and choose like which.
I've done that as a Christian though, and a believer. I'll listen to that and be like, yeah, I don't really like that. That's not really for me. I'm gonna pass on that one. Like, nah, love your enemies. I'm good, bro. Like, hey, let's do that flood thing, that strike that guy down thing you did back in the Old Testament. Like, can you give me one of them, please? I think that's important too, man, is to. And that's when you read the Bible and you read more about the Bible and you read all the stories. And I think that's the reason why, honestly, it's one of the main reasons why, too, that I do believe the Bible is because the Bible's not like this beautiful picture of like life's easy and this beautiful picture of characters that lived happily ever after. It's a lot more. They didn't live very good. They got killed in a horrible way. They paid for what they did. There's a lot of bad that I feel like if you were wanting it to be this religion that caught on and everybody was like, woo, this is amazing. Let's ride this wave over here. You wouldn't have put a lot of that stuff in there. Like you'd have put a lot of the, right, lot more of the yeah. feel good stuff in there. Yeah. Like this is a great, like love everybody. Like, and this is why Christians were so persecuted back in the day too, because this is so different than it was. There was no other relationship. There was plenty of teachers and rabbis, like, and there was plenty to believe or not to believe. But like Jesus said, I am the way. And this goes back to the supremacy. I am the way. I am the truth. No one gets to me except through the Father. There is no Christianity without Jesus. There is no going to heaven without Jesus. Like, he's the point. Like in John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Like, Jesus was there. Like he wasn't like, he didn't just all of a sudden appear and like, oh yeah, we're going to send him to earth kind of a deal.
Yeah,
like,
when he's saying, I am the way, he's saying, I am the great I am.
Yeah.
I am the I am.
Yes, I am. Like nowadays you'd say, I am him.
Yeah.
Like I am he, right? Like, so I think that's an important part. Like it just.
Well, let me wrap it up with this.
You're going to land the plane.
Ask you a personal question. So Colossians 1:23 says, but you must continue to believe the truth. So we continue in the faith and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. Let me ask you.
How do you not drift away?
Well, have there been times where you've drifted away?
100%.
Like, and then what was that? How did you drift away? And then how did you get it back to center? How did you get it back?
Like, the drifting away, the drift aways in my past has been slow drifts that I made decisions that were based on, that were not based on that book you're holding and that were based on like how I just wanted to live and have fun and go and do. And church became not really a priority. And so for us, it was not easy. It was painful, but we definitely had, I've had times where I've drifted away when I'm not in the Word, when I'm not around fellowship, when I'm not, you know, in church. Like that, those are the times that I don't have success. Like when I don't have others to do it with. I mean, we talked about that several weeks ago too in the workout group. Like I need others in my life to do life with that believe the same thing, that are continuing to stumble. I had a buddy come to my house yesterday, and he's struggling, man. Like, he is struggling. And like, and man, I considered it such an honor to sit there and struggle with him. Like, it was just, it was really cool. And like, and the first thing I was able to do with him, because it's a tough situation, it's a hard situation to deal with, but the first thing I told him was like, you kind of got to look in the mirror here first. Because how you're acting is all that really matters. Because the situation is the situation, but you're acting in a way that I would argue doesn't glorify God. Like,
you can't control your circumstance, but you can control your attitude.
I can control my attitude and my actions. And those are tough conversations, but golly, man. Like, and this dude's older than I am. And he said the words, like, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to do that. But like, he said the words, he was like, you know, you're my mentor. And I was just like, man, that's humbling. Like, what an honor. Like, I get to struggle with you. Like, I get to be somebody you trust to pour into him. When I don't have that, and I don't have somebody to trust and somebody that I can go to, and I don't have somebody that I can bring my burdens to life and share. And I'm not as successful. When me and my wife aren't on the same page or aren't, you know, loving each other like we should, I drift more, you know. Like, it's just, and again, it's those slow drifts, and those slow drifts turn into bigger drifts and bigger drifts. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's a really big deal. And we've had those in our lives, but you know, it's slowly letting sin creep in and slowly accepting some of those things that don't honor God, that aren't what's best for your family, that might be what's best for the moment. It might be what everybody else is doing. And I think really like making a commitment to like, this is what we do, this is who we are, no matter what, helps us from not getting too far of a drift. And then having the ability for me and Lindsay to be like, we're drifting, or like, I don't like that, you don't like that. And, you know, being able to call each other forward and then start to work together to get back to center.
So I think that's true love for someone that, like your buddy who came over, you just didn't tell him what he wanted to hear.
No.
You know what I mean? And I think if you see someone drifting in life, you see me drifting, I see you drifting, you see one of your buddies drifting, we need to have the type of love for them that we can point it out. Like we can call each other out in love. Like, hey, I feel like you're kind of losing. You need to get recentered here. You're kind of getting out of kilter a little bit.
It's not out of being a jerk. Right. It's out of love. Like, and they might overreact in the moment, but I promise they'll understand in the end. But like, like that's a true friend. Like, am I willing to say things to them that like helps them add value to their life and helps them maybe think or do something? Like, I know they don't want to be here and they might not like it, but I'm going to say it anyways. That we've got to be more comfortable with that. The older we get, the more we grow. And even if you lose a friendship off of that, but it changes the way they think and the way they move forward, it's worth it. Like, if you lose a friendship, but they turn themselves around and started to see what was important, like, that's winning.
Yeah. Well, I think if they're coming to you for advice, they
respect you, and they want to hear
you, and they're open to it.